There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Basile. All subjects are on the table and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street smart, intuitive insights. And she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and the Doc, and it starts now.
Hey, aloha.
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 Boy, do we have a show for you. There's a reason we're all three dressed this way. Mark, you want to take it away?
Absolutely. Today we're honoring a very special lady, Mother Earth. It is Earth Day 2021. And this special episode, we have Jim Kimo West. And Hawaiian culture honors Mother Earth. And Jim just won the 2021 Grammy for the Best New Age Album, which is More Guitar Stories. And we're going to be hearing some of that during the breaks on the show. And the thing is, don't expect airy-fairy, new-agey stuff with Jim. This guy is rocking. And he's not only the world's foremost slack-key guitar players. He writes his own music, records his own albums, and he's toured with Weird Al Yankovic since the 1980s. But he fell in love with the people and the culture of Maui, where he's become a Hawaiian musical legend. And so I'd like to offer an aloha and mahalo to our very special guest, Jim Kimo West. Welcome to The Psychic and the Doc, Jim.
Mahalo, Mark. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, Jim, you're such a fascinating guy, and I was reading about you, and what I saw was that when you were 12 years old, that's when you first picked up a guitar, and it's an interesting story. Could you share that with us?
Yeah, you know, my older brother played guitar. He was kind of played folk music for fun and that kind of stuff, and his guitar was in the closet. I think he had sort of neglected it for a few years, and it had like two strings on it. So I think when I was 12, I started noodling around on this two-string guitar, and he saw that I was interested. So he went out and bought a set of strings and a book and, you know, all the things for me. And so I kind of owe him, you know, my start in music. As soon as I, you know, got that guitar fixed up, I just fell in love with music and just locked myself in the room every day after school.
Wow. So, I mean, it just, would you say that the guitar kind of called to you? I mean, you obviously, you know, I mean, kids pick up guitars and bang around with it, but it seems like you've had quite the relationship with guitar.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, in fact, a couple of my most recent records I call Guitar Stories. This most recent one was called More Guitar Stories. And it's all, the concept is almost like the guitar is actually telling the story. You know, when you have a beautiful sounding instrument and you're in a nice space in the room and that starts, you know, the creativity starts flowing. It's almost like the guitar starts telling the story, you know, and you're just sort of enabling the story and helping the guitar to create the story. So yeah, guitar, I think it did call to me in the beginning, and it was just a magical experience.
You know, I want to ask you a question. You asked me a question about, have I been to Hawaii? And I said something like a million times. Of course, it's not a million times. I wish it could be a million times. That is absolutely not correct. But I'm from New York. Being on any of the islands of Hawaii at any point in time in my life was never really in the cards. And then it was. And I found myself in an interesting place in relationship with someone, meeting a ton of friends, live there. And the first time that I got off the plane and was hit by that first beautiful wind of that special Aloha air, I was done. That was it. And fortunately, I was able to make a lot of trips back and forth. But I had a lesson I learned. Guitar, as the way I grew up listening to it, and guitar in Hawaii, especially Slatki, yeah, that was a totally orgasmic experience, if you don't mind me saying. And I just wanted to point that out because it's almost like its own version of heaven, isn't it?
It is. You know, when I came to Hawaii first in 1985, and it was just by chance. I went to a little town called Hana Maui, and it's a very remote village on Maui that's actually one of the most Hawaiian places. And I hadn't even been to Waikiki or even Lahaina. I went right to Hana. Just the most amazing coincidence that this happened. This family that I was staying with, they had a lot of Hawaiian music records. And when I first heard the Slatki records, I just thought that music just feels like it's coming out of the earth. You know, it feels exactly like what I'm seeing here. The music just sounds the way the place looks. And I was just really drawn to that style. I'd been playing guitar for a long time, but that's something resonated with me. That music resonated with me so much. And for years, I didn't even try to play it. I just loved to just listen to it. And then eventually, you know, I started writing songs in that style.
Wow. Yeah, and what I've observed and resonated with your music, it isn't just Hawaiian music. You incorporate world music, all types of different sounds. And what is it about the world music? What is it about a different type of music? Is it something that resonates with you? What is it that draws you to these different cultural musics?
Well, you know, a lot of my records are really based in the Hawaiian Slatki tradition. I do a lot of, I bring my own influences into it and sort of do a contemporary version. But now my last record, More Guitar Stories, and the previous Guitar Stories records, those are a little bit of a diversion. So they're a little bit different than my other records. In those records, I did try to incorporate other world music influences. I've always loved Middle Eastern music. So on my first Guitar Stories records, I have a tune that's, you know, uses the Slatki tunings and techniques, but, you know, is in more of a Middle Eastern sound. On this last record, More Guitar Stories, I have a track using the same Slatki techniques, but doing more of an Indian classical style. So, you know, I'm interested in all kinds of world music, and the Guitar Stories series of records that I have, that's sort of my place for exploring all that stuff.
You know, for the benefit of the listeners, what is Slatki guitar? You know, we're talking about, because I know Dr. Pat's familiar with it, and I am, but can you explain to people, what is it about Slatki guitar that makes it different?
Well, you know, it's a style, but it's also a technical thing. When the Hawaiians first got guitars, they just came up with their own ways of tuning them, and meaning that they would slack some of the strings down to create like a chord. Now, on the mainland, we call this open tuning. So technically, it's an open tuning. And what makes Slatki interesting in Hawaii is all the families would have their own tunings, you know, they would keep them secret. And the style of Slatki was handed down from father to son or from uncle to nephew. You could not learn Slatki from someone other than a family member. So they kept it within the families. So that style became, you know, all the families had their own styles and tunings, and they would carry on those traditions through the generations. So Slatki essentially means slacking the strings down to create an open tuning. But there are hundreds of tunings, and so many, every tuning has its own kind of mana, its own power, its own set of possibilities. So every time you change the tuning, your chords are different, you know, and you can do things in one tuning that you couldn't do in another tuning.
I hate to put you on the spot, but is there any possibility you could show us?
Sure, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I like. This is where we're going to get real now. Here we go.
All right.
Well, you know, I could sort of demonstrate. In standard guitar tuning would be something like this. And when Hawaiians first got guitars, it didn't seem to make a lot of sense, so they would lower some of the strings down and create a chord. So it's all of a sudden, by lowering, for example, these two down a step and this one down a step, you create a G chord. So now we can play bass and we can play melody at the same time, you know. So that's sort of the idea of it. You know, by slacking the strings and creating those open chords, you can play bass lines and you can play melody all at the same time. Because instruments, there weren't many instruments in old Hawaii. We're talking about the mid-1800s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, so one person would kind of have to be the whole band on the guitar.
Wow. You know, it's fascinating because, like, in the Caribbean, the way the locals there created steel drum music, it's always fascinating how island cultures are very, very innovative with music.
Sure. And it's out of necessity in a lot of ways. I mean, the steel drums, I mean, they didn't have anything. They just pounded old, 55-gallon drums and turned them into instruments. And same in Africa, all kinds of amazing instruments that just come out of necessity. And the way Hawaiians got guitars, though, is actually kind of interesting. I should talk about that a little bit.
What happened was,
one of the early explorers, James Cook was the first European explorer to reach Hawaii. But a few years later, once it was on the map, another explorer named Vancouver, he came to the Big Island and he brought 3 head of cattle to King Kamehameha as a gift. They didn't have cows in Hawaii. And so he brought 2 cows and a bull and as a gift to the king. And the king, they were all just amazed at these huge animals because the biggest animals they had there were these small pigs. So anyway, they were the property of the king. And of course they multiplied. And over the years, it turned into a big herd and they became feral. They got wild. You know, they broke out of their pens and they were big longhorn cattle. They were big and mean and they were kind of terrorizing the local people. I mean, they were dangerous. And at some point, when Kamehameha III was in power, he had come to the mainland on a ship. He had come to San Francisco, sailed there. And he saw down in Monterey, he saw Spanish cowboys, because at that time it was owned by Mexico. California was still part of Mexico.
Right.
He saw Spanish vaqueros, cowboys, managing cattle, roping them and all this. And he decided he would hire some of those vaqueros to teach the Hawaiians how to manage cattle. And so they could round these cattle up, you know, and control the problem. So he hired the vaqueros and they came on their boats on the ship with their ponies and their saddles, and they also had guitars. So at the end of the day, the vaqueros would sit around playing the guitars, and Hawaiians had never seen a guitar, and they were just mesmerized, you know. And so they taught the Hawaiians how to be cowboys. And in fact, Hawaiian cowboys actually, their ability actually predates the typical what we call Western, John Wayne type cowboy by about 30 years. The Hawaiians became amazing cowboys. In fact, some of the early cowboys were in one of the first rodeos in Wyoming, and they won like first, second, and fourth place. You know, they were so good. But anyway, when the vaqueros left, when their contract was up, they decided to leave their guitars behind because the Hawaiians were so enamored of these instruments. So they left their guitars behind, and that's how slack key music started. The Paniolos, the Hawaiians called themselves Paniolos. They would, started slacking the strings and to create tunings, and that's how guitar ended up in Hawaii.
Yeah. You know what fascinated me in the introduction? I was very fortunate to be able to spend so much time with people that were of lineage. I mean, this was such a shock for me, and yet it felt so like home. What I was especially shocked by in the music and introduced to it is, you know, when I learned about, from the beginning, the mele, when I learned about the chant and the importance of the of Native stories and being those stories, you know, allowed to be told to remember the, you know, the myths of the gods, it was... It totally made sense to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear it and then you participate in it, it hits you at such a cellular level, it's hard to explain, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, Hawaiian, they call it, chants are called Oli.
Oli.
And so Oli, Hawaiians didn't have a written language. So they would pass their lineages, their genealogies, their history down through chants. And the chants maybe would be accompanied by a gourd drum or a, you know, a simple percussion instrument or something. And there became kumu and teachers who, you know, who kept these stories alive by teaching each generation the stories and the chants, the oli. And Hawaiian music still to this day is influenced by Hawaiian chants, and that the structure of Hawaiian songs often is very much like Hawaiian chants, you know, especially the traditional Hawaiian songs.
Jim, would you say that, would you say that Hawaiian spirituality has influenced your music? I mean, I'm assuming that's going to be a yes, but my bigger question is, how did you get connected with the spirituality of Hawaii?
Well, you know, I think first of all, just by being there and, you know, I was sort of, like I said, sort of thrown into the deep end of Hawaiian culture because I went to this little town that was very Hawaiian. Nobody, you know, had locks on their doors, and it was Hawaiian people are so, you know, generous and loving people. And you start learning about the spirit of aloha, which really, you know, we say aloha as a greeting and when we leave, but essentially we were saying, you know, I greet you with aloha or I leave you with aloha. Aloha is kind of like, I would say, like unconditional love for not only your fellow man, but for the aina, for the earth, for, you know, your ancestors, you know, for everything, you know, just like an unconditional love. And it shows, you know, Hawaii is still, you know, that's the aloha spirit is alive and well in Hawaii.
And that no pun intended, really seemed to strike a chord with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, the style of slack key that I play, they call nahe nahe, which means very gentle, you know. And right. I think that's one thing about Hawaiians in general that I learned when I first started going. There was so much, like I say, unconditional love. You'd meet a Hawaiian family for the first time and they were, you know, you were just hugged and accepted as a family member right from the get-go. And, you know, I sort of think of my music kind of that way as kind of a hug, you know, as kind of like a sonic kind of hug that makes you just feel warm and, you know, and accepted, you know?
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to go to a short break. And as we go, Jacob has got some beautiful music that we're going to play. A little bit unusual for those that are listening. You're actually going to hear more music than you generally hear going in and out. So you too can totally experience, take it in, breathe it in, feel the air, and smell the beauty of it all. We'll be right back. Thank you.
condition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com. You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
Wow. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. A very, very special edition of The Psychic and the Doc with myself, me, Dr. Pat, Mark Anthony. Mother Earth is one real hot mama with a very special guest, Jim Kimo West. Jim, before we really talk about a very special event, how do people find out more about you? And by the way, it's so important for us to tell folks how they can actually get some of the music you've created.
Well, you can always find me on my website. It's jimkimowest.com, J-I-M-K-I-M-O-W-E-S-T.com. And of course, I'm on all the streaming networks and, you know, Pandora and Spotify and iTunes. And I have a YouTube channel where I actually have quite a few videos because during the COVID last year, when we were all locked in our homes, I would produce these, record songs like this live in the studio. And I have a ton of them on there on YouTube. So, but yeah, I'm in all the normal places, you know. Mm.
This is quite a journey. I mean, there's so much to talk about. I think, Mark, you had a great question because one of the things we referenced is the Grammy Award. But Mark, let's talk about that a little bit, right? That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm assuming winning a Grammy didn't suck.
It didn't suck, no. It was
What was that like?
Well, the actual show this year, of course, was virtual. It was like this, like we're doing here.
Yeah.
And it was so very different because I had been nominated before and actually, you know, went to the event and had, you know, a number of parties beforehand and all that stuff. And of course this year, none of that. We had to do it all virtually. It actually, just to get nominated was amazing because they're narrowing the field down from hundreds of entries down to five, you know, wow. And that to me was just to be, you know, picked out, you know, to be down, you know, to make that cut was just incredible. And then of course, for the Grammys, we have, you know, there was a producer assigned to a certain number of nominees. So we had a little, you know, sound check a week before, and we, you know, had a lot of communication. And so, they had us, the nominees, tune in at a certain time, maybe half an hour before your award is going to be announced. And so as you're getting closer, you know, they're going, okay, there's only two more categories and you're coming up and they said, okay, after the break, your category is next. And so they, So sure, the category came on and I'm watching it on the screen and they announced my name. And it was like, oh man, it was just incredible. So I had a little speech ready to go. And so I started talking and in 5 seconds, they just cut away to the next award. And I was like, it's like, wait a minute, you know, what happened there? And then I could sort of hear the producer yelling at somebody in the background. I think most people thought that I had my mic muted, but I didn't have any control over it, you know? And so unfortunately somebody on their end, I guess, muted the thing. Cause, after you win, then you go to this virtual press room, you know, where they have people interviewing you. So actually when I was in the press room, they could hear me just fine. Although a couple of people were interviewing me and they had so much echo on their voice, you know, cause there was some kind of feedback loop that I just had to sort of guess and try to guess what they were asking me.
Well, you know what? You know what, Jim? We're not going to mute you. What were you going to say? Come on, this is your chance. Give your Grammy speech.
Well, you know, what I did actually was some friend of mine suggested that I just record it and put it on YouTube. So I did that, you know, and essentially I thanked the Academy, of course, and all the sort of indie artists who are sort of part of my network. And I wanted to thank all the musicians on there, and I'll do it as well. I had some fantastic musicians on this record. Some of my records are just me. This record had some great players. I had the great Jimmy Johnson playing bass, who's a legend. M.B. Gordy played percussion, fantastic percussionist. Charlie Bicharette, a fabulous violinist. I also had Dan Lutz playing upright bass. I had T.J. Troy playing tablas. And I had Simone Vitucci playing cello. Wow. And my friend Cenk Erdoğan from Turkey played the fretless guitar. So, Ben Powell also played violin too as well.
Amazing. Amazing. What was that collaboration like? I mean, so often we talk about the music, but we don't talk about the journey. And, you know, what I'm always fascinated by and was extremely intrigued by, especially when we're talking about music that has such a powerful both spiritual message and otherwise, there's a journey that happens when people come together. And we end up talking about the Grammy, but I can only imagine what the creation of this was like. What was that like?
Well, normally it would be much different, but in the year of COVID, unfortunately, you know, some of the songs I actually were started before COVID happened. So I had actually, you know, people over and recorded with folks here. But then once COVID happened, then the musicians all had to record at their parts at home, you know. So I would work up the song to a certain point and say, okay, I need some bass. And I would send it over to the bass player and he would record the part at home and then send it to me and I would mix it in, you know. And so unfortunately, we had to work that way during COVID, you know, and there were so many records. I mean, almost all the records in the world that were produced last year were especially after March, were done the same way, you know.
Wow.
So it's a collaboration. Now, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say there were so much of a collaboration as, you know, I'd write the tunes and then I would hire the players to play parts, you know, and they would, you know, come up with their own parts to a lot of extent, but I would also have parts written out. But I'm looking forward to now getting back to where I can actually get together in person with musicians and actually collaborate and write things together in the same room.
Yeah, I hear that from my musician friends. It is one of the things that when they talk about their heart, they love music. You know, there's no doubt about it. You can't do what you just did on air and not love it, right? But there's a little hole in their heart because part of loving music is that connection and collaboration. And I wanted to talk to you about you and your connection to the islands of Hawaii. I wanted to ask you about that because there's something that you just can't explain. And I'd love to hear your experience with that.
Well, you know, I was saying before, I first went to Hawaii in 1985, and I fell in love with Hana, the town, and I ended up living there for quite a long time. It's a very hard place to live in some ways because it's a two-hour drive to a store, to any kind of real store, you know. And the only gig is playing in the there's one hotel in town, and you know, two nights a week they would have music in the bar, so that's the only gig you can get in town. But I always maintained my connection with Los Angeles, you know. But Hawaii has been so special to me. I mean, when I created my first record, I had written a number of slack key tunes inspired by Hana and the people that I've met in Hana. And I would record them just so that I wouldn't forget them. And at some point somebody said, well, you've got 12 songs. Why don't you make a CD? And I hadn't even considered it being some kind of commercial enterprise. So, but I loved the idea. And eventually I had a CD. A friend of mine did the cover, and the CD was called Coconut Hat. So the cover of that of the is a coconut hat made by a friend of mine that used to weave hats down by the waterfall, you know, and sell them to the tourists, you know. So one of his hats was on the cover. So, you know, I've had this long connection, especially with Hana, a very, very deep connection. And it's certainly influenced my music. I mean, I've written so many songs inspired by, you know, by all of Hawaii, but especially that part of Hawaii.
Jim, you brought up something earlier. You talked about mana. And what I found really fascinating is mana is the energy that everything has. Yes, and in my work as a psychic medium, that's a huge component of that. And I work with it in the realm of quantum physics, that everything has its own frequency and vibration. Mm-hmm. But have you explored mana? Have you done any type of techniques to commune with nature? And if so, did that impact your songwriting?
Well, you know, my favorite thing is when I'm in Hana, what I really love to do is hike along the coastline because it's a very rugged coastline.
Yeah.
And speaking of power, I mean, the waves are powerful. They're sometimes just splashing against the rugged coastline. I mean, sending plumes of water 50 feet in the air. Very, very powerful. But you can safely walk along the coastline, and maybe you can dip into some tide pools that are safe. But there's a certain energy that from the ocean that you you get when you're hiking the coast on the windward, almost any of the windward sides of any of the islands, you know. It's a whole different thing than the leeward, where you have the hotels and the nice sandy beaches and the quiet water. The windward side is rugged, and there is power and energy there. And almost sometimes, where I used to stay was right on the ocean there. And sometimes it would almost be too much, you know, it'd almost be like, okay, the ocean's got to calm down here. It's just, it's a little bit too much power, you know, but there's something about that rugged ocean power that is just so compelling, you know, and I can't help but think that you know, that has, you know, influenced my music a lot.
Dr. Pat, you brought up something very important before we talk about the process.
We talk
about the end product and the road to Hana. And it's interesting because all three of us have been to Hana, and you go from Lahaina to Hana. And, you know, I did that and I drove and I did some hiking there as well. And so I can relate to what you're talking about. But I remember encountering other tourists who were like, well, we just drove through all these woods and then we're at this place. And it's like, what they're not getting is it's the journey, not the destination.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. And that's one of the things that I've learned from my Hawaiian friends is that, you know, we're so outcome based. It's the process that's important. And it seems, you know, what I'm hearing from you, Jim, is that is like when you sit down to write a song, you don't say, I'm going to write a song about this. It seems like it's a process.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I never really sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write a song. I play guitar. It's almost sort of a meditation for me. I'll play and it just brings me to a very peaceful place. And then sometimes Especially if I'm, you know, exploring a new tuning. Like the thing is with these tunings, you know, like when you come up with a new tuning or try a new tuning, all of a sudden it's this amazing sense of discovery, because you're discovering these new things that you've never heard before, that you've never tried. And that sort of ignites that creative spark. So oftentimes when I'm playing with a new tuning, I'll write three or four songs. Some of my records have been inspired by just the discovery of one tuning, where half of the songs on the record are things that I wrote right away. But you know, in Hawaii, everything is, it's a different pace, you know, especially in Hana. You know, people aren't real, like you say, they're not outcome based so much. It's more about the process, and it's, you know, things are more important. You know, family is so important. Living there will be hard, for example, to get work done on your house. Like if you had to have a plumber, you know, the local guy would say, okay, I'll come over. I'll be there tomorrow, you know, and then he doesn't show up. And then you see him at the store, he goes, oh yeah, my cousin came into town and we had one luau and, went fishing or something. But you know, that's understandable. It's like, oh, okay, no worries. You know, that's more important than coming over and fixing my plumbing.
I love that. I spent a month plus in Hawaii. Because as I said, I've got friends at Coco Crater, and you know, I have friends there, and there was a family, not such a great event. And I stayed a month to care, and I got a dose of a change that stayed with me to this day. I would have never been able to get it, a positive change. And it was so stunning and shocking to me that here I was, building a network, and I got to tell you, my friends are like, no, that is like not important. You don't need to do that show. It doesn't matter. We go to the beach now. And, you know, and I have to tell you, I kicked and screamed and shouted, and I'm trying to do the show. And they're banging on pans and stuff. And I finally said, I'm not doing the show. I got to go. And I learned something so valuable about that. And I still learn from them. There are things in life that will go on without you. And there are things in life that go on because of you. Mm-hmm. And that time with people and friends. And I got to tell you, I don't swim. I am the worst person. I get in the water. I love the water. I get in there. They put me on a floaty. They push me out. And they forget about me until somewhere I'm going down the beach towards the two islands. Right? But you mentioned something. People ask me, what was the scariest moment? They hear that I traveled across from East Coast to the West Coast. I drove a truck in the across the Great Divide in the middle of winter. And so drove up, almost completely went off a cliff in California. And they said, which one was the scariest? No question, Hana Road. Scariest. They said, what road? I said, you got to be there to appreciate it. Why was it scary? We went in the rain. It was dark. I was so scared. And yet I don't think it was because of the road. And Jim, I want to take a short break and come back. There's a power that you talked about. It changed my life. I created research work on the beach. And people asked me where I got the idea from. And I said, the Mokulele Islands over there is someplace. When we come back, I want to talk about how healing this music is for the world now, for the world then, and how hypnotic it can be. And I tried to learn slide key guitar. Epic fail. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Wow, welcome back. Jim, thank you so much for today. I know there's so many things we want to talk with you about, and boy, the joy of your music, the power of it. Again, please send everybody to how they can find out more about you and go watch your videos and just, you know, like spread the aloha.
Spread the aloha. That's right. Yeah, my website has all the links, you know, jimkimowest.com. It has, you know, the links to the YouTube and streaming and all that. All those places out there. Hopefully you'll be able to see me play live before too long. I mean, that's what we're all hoping for.
So do you tour separately from the Weird Al band as well?
Oh yeah. I do my own tours. This year and last year would have been a good time to do it, but unfortunately we couldn't do any of that. But normally I do, when I'm not on tour with Al, I will do my own, you know, shows. I think I might have some stuff coming. I know I have a show coming up in October on Maui, the Slack Key Show, which is a weekly show hosted by George Kahumoku Jr. Oh. It's been going on for maybe 12 or 13 years. They have a different artist every week. So I'll be there on October 7th, I believe, for that. That hopefully there'll be some more live shows before too long.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, there will be. It's everything that we're seeing, and the messages I've been getting from the other side, and this has come up a number of times on the show, that we're on a reverse course now, which is a good thing. So we'll be seeing you back on tour. Mm-hmm. Jim, I good. Experienced something known as white rain when I was in Hawaii. And I know that you're familiar with it. Could you share with our listeners, what is white rain?
Well, they have in Hawaii, there are probably 100 different names for different kinds of rain. And what they call the uakea, ua means rain and kea is white. Uakea, there's a number of different kinds of uakea depending on where you are. And what uakea is, it's a very, very fine, misty rain. And in fact, in Hana, they call it the Uakea Ohana.
It's beautiful.
It's a very, very fine white, very fine misty rain. It's very fine. And sometimes what happens, it often comes down while the sun is shining. So the sun is shining and you have this misty rain and it's caught up in the trade winds kind of swirling around, and it'll sometimes create like a prismatic effect. It's very magical.
Yep.
So I have a song called The White Rain, which I actually wrote completely inspired by sitting there on my lanai watching this. And I wrote the song on the spot, like directly, you know, it's one of those situations where I wasn't just improvising. I was just completely inspired by this, you know, this phenomena. And, you know, like I say, in different parts of Hawaii, they have different names for it, but it's a very, very light, misty rain. Oftentimes, like I said, you see it while the sun is shining. So then you're sort of getting these rainbow prismatic effects, you know, while it's happening.
You know, this is so, I'm sorry, Dr. Pat.
No, go ahead.
I just want to say, this is so perfect for Earth Day. You know, because the whole point of Earth Day is to honor the only place we have to live. I mean, you know, ingenuity flying around on Mars is great and all that, but let's face it, this is where we live. And what you're telling us, Jim, is that when you open yourself up to the vibration, to the feeling of Mother Earth, she speaks to you. And the way she speaks to you results in your creative process. That is how songs are created. And I think that it's very important this Earth Day and every day for people to realize. Now Jim is very sensitive to this vibration and he listens to it. But we can all learn from this, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think being in nature in general, you know, I've always been like an outdoors person. I just love traveling and being in nature, no matter where, you know, not just in Hawaii. But I think the connection with nature, you know, you are connecting with the earth when you're out in nature, whether it be the redwoods of California or Yosemite or up in the mountains or in the Alps or anywhere. You know, there's something that just connects so very deeply inside of you when you're in beautiful nature. And you know, in Hawaii, for example, I love to go fishing on the rocks, but it's not really, it's more about being there than it is catching the fish, you know?
Yes.
I like to catch the fish, but it's really about being in an incredible place and just soaking in that energy of the place, you know?
Yeah, my friends had the greatest laugh on the planet when they decided, let's go fishing on the rocks. And then watching me try to do that.
I'm in my own zone.
You have to be very careful. And I'm being in my own zone and I'm very focused. And you could hear the laughter, honestly, from the Big Island all the way to Kauai. You could just hear it. And, you know, I learned to laugh at myself there, Jim. And I was thinking about this. I don't know another place where people are so kind, so loving, and they just don't take themselves so seriously. Now, they do take things in the world seriously. But boy, I did learn to laugh at myself. There's something powerful about that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I have many Hawaiian friends who I would go fishing with. And, you know, I can't help but think how, you know, how my life has changed just from being around them, you know. Yeah. But Hawaiian people are very loving and, like I say, very, very you know, everybody's, you know, so full of aloha there. That's, you know, I kind of think that Hawaiian music and almost any kind of Hawaiian music, when I hear it, it brings me back to the place, you know. I mean, even if it's steel guitar, for example, it sounds, you know, I could be in Waikiki with the, you know, the trade winds blowing through the palm trees and the sound of steel guitar. It just sounds like, you know, like I say, it sounds like the place. Hawaiian music brings me back to those, to the place. And, you know, I think Hawaii, you know, Hawaii, the music is sort of like, as for example, as slack key gets more and more popular throughout the world, I sort of feel like along with the slack key is you're sort of helping to spread aloha through the world by playing slack key and recording it and such.
Yeah. I never thought in a million years, just to say, that I would be so influenced by a culture and by a music. And I cannot explain to this day how that happens. My friends say it's a past life. Mark probably can figure it out. But boy, when it hits you in the heart. And my introduction was Kaeli Rochelle. Mm-hmm. And my introduction, right, was that for a bit. And it just doesn't leave. I just sense that this is the kind of music that could really heal the world. I don't know.
Absolutely. I think so. Yeah, Kaeli Rochelle is a fabulous artist. And his records are some of my favorite, you know, and he's a kumuhula, meaning he's a hula teacher too. So, he's very fluent in language. He's an amazing artist. And, but I agree. I think Hawaiian music, unfortunately, it's strange because a lot of people I meet, like, especially maybe if I'm trying to book a show or something, I'll say, well, I play Hawaiian slack key. And, you know, they think, you mean like Tiny Tim or, you know, for some reason, you know.
Or Tiny Bubbles.
Yeah. Well, what happened was when Hawaii became a tourist destination, it was starting way back in the turn of the early 1900s, people started going over in ships. And there became this sort of craze for Hawaiian culture, and Hawaiian music on the mainland. So all the publishers at that time, before they were even records, they were publishers because they would publish sheet music, So there was a huge demand for Hawaiian, Hawaiian songs, right? So all these publishers in New York and Chicago had all their staff writers just write, Hawaiian songs, and they would just, they would be like almost like comedy songs, sort of vaudeville-ish, with ridiculous English lyrics. And so unfortunately, like sometimes when I'm trying to book a show, the people that I'm talking to think of Hawaiian music, think that's what Hawaiian music is. And I was like,
it's a pineapple juice commercial or something.
Right. Yeah. And so I have to explain to him, like slack key is an old folk tradition. It's, it's actually older than the blues. It's very old, and Hawaiian music is music in Hawaiian language most of the time, real Hawaiian music. And it's not My Little Grass Shack, it's something different. So I'm always trying to educate people to that, because they always think, oh, you mean that kind of comedy music? It's like, well, not really.
No. Wow. Jim, I hope you'll come back. And
absolutely, I'd love that.
Because I want to also invite you back, because one of the things, it's an hour, there's so much to talk about. But one of the things that I want to make sure we talk about when you come back is also the messaging in the words. What is said in these beautiful songs. Mark?
Absolutely. Having Jim on the show, for the people who haven't been to Hawaii, that's what it's like. You want more. You don't want to leave. And Jim, it's been an honor having you on the show. Yeah. Mahalo. Oh,
well, thank you guys so much.
Yeah. And what do you got in the works? I assume you got a tour plan. I know you're working on a new album. Tell us what you got in the works and let everyone know again how they can get hold of you and buy your music.
Yeah, last year I was locked in my studio all year, so I actually finished up another record last year. And since the Grammys were coming out, I didn't want to release it because I thought, well, that'll be too confusing. So that's going to come out in June, and it's a follow up to my Moku Maluhio record, which also got nominated for a Grammy. So it's very relaxing. It's not going to be like a world music thing. It's more in the Hawaiian vein, Hawaiian contemporary sound, very stripped down, but very, very beautiful record. And now I'm also working on another record right now too as well.
Awesome. So. Oh boy. Send over a little creativity my way, please. Send it over.
and everyone, we're going to be back next week, and next week's an all call-in show, Dr. Pat.
Yep. I'm excited about it. And I promise, Jim, when you do come back, I promise not to sing. One thing that I don't do well, that is it.
No, I want to hear you sing Mele Kamikamaka.
I actually can sing some beautiful songs, but totally off key. Jim, thank you. And Mark, next week, we are, all of you out there, thank you so much for tuning us in. I want to make sure you all do check out Jim's music. Please take a look at the videos. This is an experience. Even if you've never had this experience before, take a moment, shut your eyes, and feel the healing going on. Jim, Kimo West, K-I-M-O, West.com.
Mahalo.
Check it out.
Thank you.
Mahalo. Oh, boy. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on. We'll see you next time. Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into The Psychic in the Dark with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests. And you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems? Yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.